EM/YM service. Let us start our service with a prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and this opportunity for us to come before you and to worship you and to praise you. And Lord, during this time of worship, Lord, may we bring our sincere hearts and may we bring ourselves, all of ourselves, to you this moment. And Lord, help us to truly praise you and truly lift your name today. Lord, help us to focus, help us to be consumed with you in our minds and in our hearts and just in everything that we are. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us start praise.
I see the King.
Now Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment once again. And Lord, as we now dive into your word, Lord, help us to focus and help us to take heed of your word, engrave it in our minds and engrave it in our hearts, so that we may not just be a listener, not just storing our knowledge in our heads, be an active doer of your word, O Lord, and follow your footsteps, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for coming and dying on the cross for us. And I just thank you for your love and thank you for your protection on all of us here. Lord, during this time of difficulties, Lord, help us to seek you more. Let us use these times to pray to you. Let us use these times to shout out to you and just seek you more and more each day. Oh, Lord, help us to focus. Help us to just grow in our love, grow in our faith in you during these times. Lord, I just thank you for all you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a couple of announcements today. For both YM and EM, just reminding you of the family worship instructions that you guys would encourage your family to do that, and also the photo contest that comes with it. I have a picture, just like we have explained to you during the visitations. Do the family worship and also take a picture and then send it to Pastor Eric to Kakao so that we can to deliver prizes to your houses. And for EM announcement, we will have thing on Thursday at 8 p.m. And for YM, it's going to have a Zoom meeting on Friday at 8 p.m. But other than that, that's all the news we have today.
All right. Good morning, everybody. And today we'll be reading from the Gospel of John again. And we'll read from John chapter 6. And we are reading verses 16 to 21. John chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. And it says, "When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Amen. And so we repeatedly emphasize, as Christians, what is. We all know the greatest commandment. That is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the greatest commandments. And upon these two commandments, everything else, all the laws in the Old Testament that they had, all of these things hang upon these two commandments. So these two are the greatest commandments. They are the most important commandments. But in terms of how often they occur, they aren't the most frequent commandment. You see, even though it's the most important commandment, there's actually a commandment that appears far, far more in the Bible. And when we think about the commandments, we might think like, oh, is it do not lie? Or is it, oh, do not steal? Or, oh, is it do not envy? Surprisingly, it's none of the Ten Commandments. The commandment that appears most frequently in the Bible from the mouth of God is actually do not be afraid. That's actually the most frequent commandment, the most that God speaks to his people. Do not be afraid. Now, why is this? Because it's not the greatest commandment. We have the greatest commandment to love God and to love our neighbors. But why does he always remind his people to not be afraid? Well, that is because this most frequent commandment, this most common commandment, we need to keep this command in order to be able to live out the greatest commandment. You see, if we live our lives from fear, if we're constantly hindered by what we're afraid of, if we're constantly hindered by our anxieties, then it becomes difficult for us to live the greatest commandment fully. And what we have here in John chapter 6, this actually comes right after the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And so Jesus feeds the 5,000, but what happens because of this is that the people who were fed, they want to forcibly make Jesus king. They want to take him by force and turn him into their king. But that wasn't why Jesus came. And that wasn't the purpose of his time on earth, his time that he did his ministry on earth. The purpose why Jesus came that first time was so that he could die on the cross. It wasn't so he could become a political king. It wasn't so that he could rule over the nations at that time. And so when these people try by force to make Jesus king, it says in verse 15 that Jesus withdraws. He withdraws from the scene. He withdraws from the crowd. And he goes into the mountain by himself. And he tells his disciples, I guess just before he goes, that they should sail across the sea. They should go to this city called Capernaum. And he tells them that he'll catch up with them later. And so the disciples, they start going across the sea. And we have to remember that some of these disciples, the key disciples that we usually think about, like Peter, James, John, these disciples, they were originally fishermen. And so they know the sea. They know the Sea of Galilee. They know this area. They fished here their whole lives. But this day, as they're crossing the sea, a storm occurs. And the thing about these storms at sea is that no matter how experienced of a sailor you are, no matter how experienced of a fisherman you are, when these storms get bad enough, there is absolutely nothing that you can do. And so sea travel at this time, in that area, it was always very, very dangerous. If you were a merchant and you wanted to ship your goods across the sea, this came with an amount of risk. And the risk was that the ship might be destroyed and everything that you had would be lost. And so this storm was bad. And the disciples, they're trying to get through. They're trying to get to the shore. And in the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, it tells us that they're doing this for hours. They're rowing for hours, but they're barely getting anywhere. And so they're struggling and they're struggling. And it says, when they have rowed about 3 or 4 miles, after all these hours, they see something on the sea. The figure of a man walking towards them. And when they see this, of course they're frightened. Of course they're scared because people don't walk on water. And so they're thinking to themselves that, oh, this must be a spirit. This is like a ghost that's coming out. A vengeful spirit of some sort, a sea spirit. But then this figure comes near to them and speaks to them. And he says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." You see, this small phrase here, these 7 words that Jesus speaks, there's actually so much meaning in these words. And so let's first take a look at these first 3 words, "It is I." Now, to us, when we're reading this in English, when we're just reading this in our Bibles, it just seems like Jesus is identifying himself, right? He's saying, "It's me. Don't be afraid. Hey, it's me. I'm not a spirit. I'm not some kind of ghost. It's me." But when we actually look at this in the Greek, it's 2 very specific words that Jesus uses. He says, "Ego eimi." And that means, directly translated, "I am." That is how he identifies himself to his disciples. And these 2 words, "I am," these aren't just simple words of identification. But if we remember the Old Testament, and if we remember when Moses approached that burning bush, and then he asks God, Moses asks God, "Who should I say sent me?" And if you look at the Greek text, it says, "Ego eimi," "I am." The "I am" has sent you. And so when Jesus says this here, when he says, "I am," this is more than just a simple identification of himself, of Jesus. But when he is saying this, this is actually a saying of divinity. This is what God identified himself as, the "I am." And we have to, when we're reading this passage, we have to understand that how great of a miracle this is. So first of all, he's walking on water. Nobody can walk on water. And in this passage, Jesus is actually being compared a lot to Moses. When he feeds the 5,000, he's compared to Moses and the manna in the wilderness. And so the people who are there, they're comparing Jesus to Moses, and they're thinking to themselves, is this the prophet that Moses talked about? Because Moses prophesied of somebody who would come in the later days, and this person would be like Moses, that he would do things that Moses did. And so when Jesus feeds the 5,000, the Jews there, the people there, they're thinking, is Jesus replicating the manna? And so, but when we read chapter 6, we find out that it's not just that Jesus is like Moses, but Jesus is greater than Moses. While Moses, he may have, manna came down in the wilderness while Moses was their leader. But the people who ate that manna still died. Jesus, on the other hand, unlike Moses, offers us living bread. And if we partake of this bread, he says we will have eternal life. And while Moses, when he raised his staff, the Red Sea split apart. Jesus didn't need to split the sea. Instead, he walked right on top of the water. And this is because Jesus is more than an ordinary man. He is more than Moses. He is greater than Moses. And he identifies himself with the divine I am. And he says to them, I am, do not be afraid. And they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately that boat was at the land to which they were going. And if we read this account in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew, there's actually another thing that happens here. First, he walks on the sea. There's this miracle of Jesus walking on water. Second, he calms the sea and he calms the storm. And third, he immediately transports them to the location that they wanted to be. And so with all of these miracles, this is why the disciples couldn't help but to confess that this man is the Son of God. That he really is who he says he is. That he has this divine power and this divine authority. The authority that only God himself holds. And this Jesus told them, do not be afraid. When we think about our fears, of course there's common fears like fear of the dark, fear of heights, fear of certain kinds of animals. Some people don't like insects. Some people don't like dogs. There's all these common fears. And it seems so in a way trivial compared to what these disciples were facing. Because in this storm, they were facing the fear of death. They didn't know if they would make it through the storm, or maybe they would just be buried at the bottom of the sea. So they were facing the fear of death. And when we think about that, we're not often faced with that kind of fear. But today in this pandemic, a lot of people have begun to think of that fear once again. I mean, the majority of people have not been touched. That is true. But how many millions have? And if you actually meet somebody whose family was affected by this virus, whose family was broken by it, then you understand that this life that we have is not guaranteed to us. This safety that we have, this health that we have, everything can change in a moment. And what's come up for a lot of people, especially in this time, is that a lot of people are having anxiety. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't know when this virus will end. They don't know when they'll get their job back. They don't know when life will return to normal. But in the middle of our storms, no matter how small your fears may seem, Jesus is there. And he tells us, do not be afraid. And so what fears are you facing in your own life? Because this fear, this anxiety that so many people have today, it's a pandemic of anxiety, actually. Mental health has been just While our general health has been getting better just over the years, it's been shown that our mental health has actually been declining. More and more people with depression, more and more people with anxiety. But I think that the scripture tells us today that in these storms that we have, and amidst the fears that we have, that we should not be afraid. Now, there's two ways that we can face our fears, and there's two ways that we can deal with anxiety. The first way, the way that they teach you to do it in counseling, is they teach you to break down your fear. Let's say you're a person who has a fear of talking to somebody new. Let's say you have a fear of approaching strangers. You have that kind of anxiety. Well, how we approach this is we break this down into steps. First, you walk up to them. You maintain eye contact. You extend your hand. I guess not now in coronavirus, but you usually extend your hand and say, "Hi, my name is Joel." And counselors, they work with people who have these kinds of anxieties. And by breaking them down into these easier steps, the fear suddenly becomes approachable. So that's one way that we deal with anxiety. And it is very effective. But the second way that we can deal with anxiety is by understanding that we have somebody on our side. Because the reason why we have these kinds of fears and we have these kinds of anxieties is because we think that we're alone in this. That nobody can hear me. That nobody understands my fears. That nobody can identify with me. But the Bible tells us today that Jesus is with us in the storm. And when we begin to understand this, that I'm not alone, that I don't face these things by myself, but in fact, the strongest person in the universe, the strongest person in existence, is on my side. And he's cheering for me. He's telling me to press on. He's telling us to move forward, to keep fighting the good fight, and to keep holding on to the faith. When we understand that, then what this does for us is it does not get rid of your fear. It does not get rid of your anxiety. But what it gives you instead is courage to face the things that you couldn't face before. And so, these disciples, as soon as they let Jesus into the boat, as soon as they join him, this fear that they had goes away. They're glad to take him in because they know his power, because they know his authority, that he can even command nature, that he can even command a storm to stop with his words, and it will stop. And so as soon as they recognize that, it is Jesus who is walking towards them on the water. They are made glad. And they no longer have a reason to fear. And so for us, statistically, most of us will face anxiety. And of that statistic, there is a pretty large percentage of people who will face severe anxiety, and they will be classified with anxiety problems. But when we are facing our fears, and when we are going through seasons of our life where it seems like it's a storm. It seems like we can't move forward no matter how much we row. It seems like nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. Everything is just stagnant. I'm not changing. When we have these seasons of our life, we must remember that Jesus is in our boat. And when we start to live aware of this, that my God is actually with me, that he cares for me, and that he carries my burdens with me. When we start to live like this, these fears that we once faced, no matter how trivial they may seem right now, these fears that we face, we start to understand that when we have Jesus on our side, that we can face these things. He gives us strength in our weakness, so that even though I am weak, Christ is strong in me. And we also find out that just as we are facing our fears, and as we're facing our anxieties, that these things that we feared, a lot of people don't acknowledge this, but one of the most prevalent fears is actually fear of other people. Now, what do I mean by that? It means that we fear what they think of us. We fear if they will accept us or not. We fear not fitting in, to be excluded, to be isolated. This is far more common than we let ourselves believe. But whether it is this kind of fear, this kind of anxiety, or any other fear, when we face it, and when we have this comfort in having Jesus by our side, and we face our fears and we face our anxieties, we find out that, oh, that really wasn't so big at all. It's like when Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, she's walking on the yellow brick road and she finally reaches that city. And then they're waiting for the big reveal. They're waiting to meet this wizard who is rumored to be so powerful, so great. But then they pull back the curtain, and it's just a small old man. That is what it's like when we face our anxieties and when we face our fears. When we're first encountering these kinds of things, and when we're in the midst of it, it seems like we're facing lions. They're roaring at us, they're gnashing their teeth, and we want to run away. We want to flee. But the closer and closer you get, you understand that these lions weren't lions at all. But they were just roars echoing off the walls. And so when we face our fears, and when we know that Christ is with us, then these things that once hindered us, these things that once prevented us from moving forward, we now know that we can overcome these things. And so the most frequent commandment, the most common commandment in the Bible is do not be afraid. Almost in every major character, in every major story of the Bible, this commandment comes out. When God is talking to Moses, what does he say? Do not be afraid. When God is talking to Joshua, what does he say? Do not be afraid. To Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Pretty much in every single story that you look at, God reminds people, do not be afraid. Why? Because he is on our side. And so, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that if you just have enough of Jesus, or if like you're spiritually mature enough, that you won't have fear. That's not what I'm saying. You will still have fear. And especially as you grow older, there's more things to be anxious about, more things to be afraid of. But even in this life that is full of fear, when we walk forward with Jesus, when we know that he is on our side, then we gain the courage and the strength to press on. And so, if you're dealing with a lot of anxiety these days, because being cooped up at home too long, it's not good for your mental health. And so a lot of people are facing more anxiety. What will the future look like? What's going to happen to me? Where will I be? And a lot of people have fears of this sickness and fears of this death, and rightly so. But we shouldn't let ourselves be governed by our fear. Like when we're thinking about dealing with this virus and moving forward just in our time, don't react with fear, but react with prudence. Act wisely. Because when we're acting on fear, then all that results from that fear is more fear and chaos in this world. But face your fears. Face your anxieties. Know that God is on your side. And when we do that, these things that once threatened our lives, these things that once prevented us from rowing forward, can no longer hinder us and can no longer keep us back. And so, if you want to move forward in your, if you want to take a step further, to overcome certain things in your life, we have to know this, and we have to really take the message of this passage to heart and know that what Jesus speaks to his disciples here, he speaks to us. It is I. Do not be afraid. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that whatever fears and anxieties we may have in this time, that we would face them together with you. That we would not try to just do everything by ourselves, to strengthen ourselves, to perfect ourselves, Lord, but that we would lean upon your perfect strength and your perfect grace. And Lord, I just pray that you would reveal yourself in our weaknesses, that you would work powerfully in these parts of us that we do not like to see ourselves. And that as you transform us and as you change us, that we will give all the glory, all the thanks, and all the praise back to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for just everything that you provide for us. And I thank you for just another Sunday that we have to look into your word and to be fed by your Holy Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's end with the Lord's Prayer. So let's all pray this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Thank you guys all for joining us for this Sunday worship. And I just pray that you have a good rest of your week.